Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as I always like to say, it is my privilege and my pleasure to be back in front of my listening audience once again as we study together the Word of God. If you've been tuning in the last couple of weeks, we have started a new study out of the book of Acts. And I love the book of Acts because I believe the book of Acts is God's plan for church revival. Amen. And my opinion is that the church does need revival. And so what better way to have a revival than to do it God's way? Amen. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you once again for allowing us to come into your presence for the study of your holy and inspired word. We pray now, O Lord, that you would just touch the heart of your teacher. Father, allow me the wisdom to be able to give to your people an unadulterated word of God that they might be more conformed to the image of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask now that your word will go forth, and as you promised in your word, not to return unto you void. Accomplish that which you would will. Use your servant unto your glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, we left off about verse 12 in the first chapter of the book of Acts. And as I said, this is God's revival plan for the church. Every time I go through the book of Acts, I reacquaint myself with God's plan and purpose for his church. It also touches my heart because I can also realize that the church is not doing it. I'm talking in general now, so please do not get offended by what I'm saying. But I believe that the church in general is not doing the things that God would have it to be. We are to be this world's change agents. We are to change the complexion of the world through the proclamation of the Word of God. We are to touch hearts and change lives. But yet and still, we have kind of drifted from those, and we've drifted into other venues. Now, those other venues in and of themselves are not bad or wrong. But if our focus drifts from the proclamation of the Word of God, because it's the Word that will change lives, and not the form of entertainment, the style of our sanctuaries, and the size of our properties, but the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 12. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Remember now, the Lord Jesus Christ has just been taken up, and they had witnessed this. Verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode with Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. All these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Let me hold up right there. We find now that Jesus has ascended. He has given the instructions that they were to be his witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. They understand that there is a promise that is about to transpire, but they haven't experienced it yet. So they are now in the upper room, and they are in a prayer meeting. And the upper room is of great significance to us when we realize that the one thing that seems to lack in our churches today, and again, this is my opinion, but I've talked to pastors around the country, and it seems as if our prayer meetings have lost its power. Many churches don't even have prayer meetings anymore. But we need to revitalize our prayer meetings. We need to take another look at what God says about prayer. Now, we find that these believers here have come back from the Mount of Olivet. And there's about 120, including Jesus' mother and all the brethren, that's the believers since his resurrection, have assembled themselves in the upper room. And the Bible says that they gathered one accord in prayer. This great unity of the early church is the central key to its great power. And that's why I'm saying that many times when we look at what we have done with our prayer meetings in our church, could that be the key why we do not have the power that we would love to have? I mean, when I look at the book of Acts and I see this little band of people who have turned the world upside down, a known world of its day, turned it upside down. But it started because they got in the upper room and they began to entreat the Lord, but they became on one accord. Now let's look at a few things. I got a few things listed here out of my notes from the, now I always like to plug Faith Bible Institute. They were in one accord in prayer, faith and expectation, believing and awaiting Christ's promise. They were one accord. Now, these are going into some of the other verses and some of the other chapters, but they were on one accord in Bible study, doctrine, and truth. They were one accord in fellowship and communion. They were on one accord in giving, sharing, and compassion. They were on one accord with worship and praise. They were on one accord in bold soul witnessing and soul winning and bold in their preaching. They were on one accord in their purpose and commitment, and they received the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. They had purity, holiness, and separation, and they kept God's standards. And then they realized that they were also to be involved in worldwide mission work. Now it says in verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Let me stop right there. We're seeing now that Judas has died. And now there's a gap in the ministry. And Peter is making this known because everybody is now gathered in the upper room. Verse 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that the field is called in their proper language, Al-Sadema. That is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms that his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and went out among us, beginning from the baptism of John and unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So right now we can see that Peter is laying the course out for what the established standards of one to be the replacement for Judas has to be able to fulfill in order to be numbered with the apostles. Amen. So we find out that he had to be an eyewitness to Jesus's resurrection. Now, let me just give a little side note, because we're coming up to some points here in this chapter and in the following chapter. And I know that these sometimes are touchy subjects, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I might take a different stance and a different understanding that you do. And again, this is not a personal attack, but I'm just proclaiming what I believe. Now, according to biblical standards, I know the word apostle simply means messenger. But when the Bible talks about the apostles in the sense of the 12, there are no longer any apostles today, because you had to be, in order to be numbered with the biblical apostles of the 12, you had to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Amen? Amen. Verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied us at all time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, as I said, unto the same day which he was taken up, one must be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and his surname Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, and that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now we have the appointment of Matthias. Peter stands and discusses the defection and the death of Judas. Now, Peter quotes scriptures which predicted the apostasy and the replacement of Judas. That comes from Psalms 109, verse 8, and, of course, this chapter, first chapter 1 in the book of Acts. Now, some wrongly imagine a contradiction between Peter's or Luke's account of Judas falling and bursting asunder, Acts 1:18, and Matthew's account of him hanging himself, Matthew 27 and verse 5. Matthew simply tells us the cause of the death, while Luke and Peter tell what happened after his death. It should be noted that it was not the death that brought about the need for replacement, but rather Judas's defection. The apostolic office was thus limited to those who had held it in the first generation of Christianity. Two requirements were given, as I stated, for the replacement. The disciple had to have been with Christ throughout his earthly ministry and not a recent convert. He must have been a witness of the resurrection. So the 120 chose two men, Justus and Matthias. And after prayer, they cast lots upon Matthias. Now, I know that sometimes there's a lot of discussion about the lots and the casting of lots and so on and so forth. But let me just read a little note that I have here from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Where God speaks, and I'm paraphrasing, we may speak authoritatively. Where God is silent, we may just merely express our opinions. And in the Old Testament, the casting of lots was a way that the Lord allowed for them to make decisions. But their decision was based and bathed in prayer, and the lots fell upon Matthias. Now, I know Matthias is not mentioned anymore in Scripture, but neither were the majority of the apostles. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I need to wind this down. My time is running out for this week. Please tune in again next week as we study together the Word of God. Pray for me as I pray for you. I love the Lord with all my heart. Please have a blessed worship service. God bless. Tune in again next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. It's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.